Welcome to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with John Leonetti, author of Exiting Your Business, Protecting Your Wealth, Part 1 of 2. Hi, I'm Nathan Ives, and I would like to welcome you to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with John Leonetti, author of Exiting Your Business, Protecting Your Wealth, A Strategic Guide for Owners and Their Advisors, Part 1 of 2. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve superior results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag posts found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. In this special edition podcast, John Leonetti, owner of Pinnacle Equity Solutions, shares with us his insights on the key factors and methods to consider when planning and executing on your or another business owner's exit strategy. And so now, without any further delay, let's get started. We are privileged to be joined by John Leonetti, author of Exiting Your Business, Protecting Your Wealth, and owner of Pinnacle Equity Solutions, a firm specializing in exit strategy training, design, and solutions for advisors and their privately held business owners. Previously, he served as a financial advisor with Smith Barney and was an adjunct professor at Suffolk University, where he taught private finance to MBA students, as well as certified financial planning courses to undergraduates. John, welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast.
Thank you, Nathan. It's great to be here.
Well, I am thrilled to have you on the show. I know you and I have had an opportunity to chat before the podcast, and one of the things that we had talked about was just the fact that when I went and got my MBA, and I was on my university's business planning team helping a local business owner in his startup, was that we kind of took exit strategy for granted. It was a couple of words in the business plan. It focused usually about just IPOs or oh, hey, we'll be bought out at some time in the future. And just the world of information and options that I just had never known existed before, I learned about by reading your book. I hadn't gotten that in my MBA program. And I know you had mentioned that you have taught a course called Private Capital Markets as an MBA course. Could you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Like you say, when you study finance, what's interesting about that, and I have a master's degree in finance, is that you're really studying corporate finance. And that's primarily what's taught. And what's interesting about corporate finance is that those are all publicly traded companies. And what's interesting about publicly traded companies is that there's only a few thousand of them.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about private businesses and private capital markets, we're talking about not just a few million, but upwards of 22 million businesses that are out there that are privately held. And yes. Now, most of these businesses will not go public, nor will they have the opportunity to go public. So automatically, what you and I studied is excluded from private business, because private businesses won't accede to publicly traded companies. Now, what's also interesting is that in the business of private business transfers, you also mentioned that one of the assumptions might be that the business would be bought out. But statistically, only 1 in 5, only 20% of businesses will successfully transfer to an outside buyer. So okay. What we see is that there's a real disconnect in our studies and in our training for handling exits for privately held businesses. And I noticed that when I was studying corporate finance, and then when I taught the MBA level, private capital markets. And that's why I wrote the book, Exiting Your Business, Protecting Your Wealth, and was to tell business owners that there are options, and they're very important to understand for any privately held business.
Okay. Okay. Just kind of set a frame of reference for our listeners to start with. Could you describe then what, kind of in general or a broad sense, what exit planning is, and then what are the options that they might be selecting from?
Okay, great. I'd be happy to. So exit planning is essentially the process of establishing the written objectives that a business owner has for their exit. Okay, so it's that simple. A business owner wants to begin to think about how they're going to exit their business. And what we see, as I mentioned, is that there are 12 million baby boomers who own private businesses. As we mentioned, only a small percentage will successfully transfer to an outside buyer, and a smaller percentage will go public. So an exit plan really should be part of every business, all right? And if we know that there are millions, 12 million baby boomers, and statistically 4 out of 5 are not going to sell to somebody else, they mm-hmm. need to begin to plan for the exit from their business. Now, okay. This doesn't only include converting their illiquid business into cash for retirement, which is a part of that. Mm-hmm. It also includes the transitioning of the business to other family members or to managers, or to cashing out a piece or all of the business. And a business owner who has this type of plan will align their organization to suit their exit needs. So in this regard, we'd like to have owners look at the business as an investment, not just as a job. And when you can put a plan in writing that says, this is how I'm going to exit over this time period, you can begin to align the resources of your organization to support that exit. And, of course, if it's not going to be a sale, you would want to know what other exits there are. So let me talk about the options, which was the other part of your question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm very glad that you enjoyed the book. The second part of the book, the first part is about planning the exit, where we begin to establish a process, a 6-step process that any business owner can follow to begin their exit planning. The middle of the book talks about the options for the exit, and there are 5 primary options listed chapter by chapter, the first of which is the sale of the business, which we mentioned. Mm-hmm. About 1 in 5 privately held businesses will successfully sell to an outside buyer. The second option, if you have the earnings, is a private equity group recapitalization. This is essentially including or bringing in a financial partner into your business. And in that case, a lot of times, the business owner stays with the business and continues to run it and continues to grow it with their new financial partner. So it's not quite an exit, but it is a sale of a majority piece of the business, mm-hmm. and it does shift the risk of privately held business ownership away from the owner who's concentrated their wealth in their business and shifts it to the financial group who helps them grow it. That's option number 2. Option number 3 is an employee stock ownership plan. In this case, a business owner can establish what's called an ESOP and can sell part or all of the stock in their company to this ESOP. And it's entirely up to that owner how much or how little they want to sell. And by the way, in that case, the business owner can maintain control of the business, because control is usually a big issue. And in selling the business or doing a recapitalization, you usually give up control.
Okay.
So an ESOP allows you to keep control, but monetize perhaps in a phased manner, where a business owner can sell a little bit today and more tomorrow, the equity that's in the business. That's the third option. So we had sale, recap, ESOP. The fourth option is a management buyout. And This includes the transfer of the business to the management team. And in this case, it's actually the business, because most business owners know that their employees don't have the money to buy them out, so usually they don't think about a management buyout. But if structured properly, the business can actually provide the income into retirement for the business owner. In this case, it usually takes quite a bit of time to get a management team up to speed. And, you know, there are pros and cons to each of these different strategies, but nonetheless, there are options. And this is what I really wanted to share, was that business owners are not relegated to simply going public or selling. They can do a sale, a recap, an ESOP, a management buyout. And the fifth option is actually a big group of options. It's called what I call gifting in Chapter 10. Okay. And the gifting programs can usually include transfers to, again, family members, to charity. Business owners can maintain control through a family limited partnership. Now is a very interesting time to take a look at a grant or retained annuity trust, a GRAT, because of what's happening with valuations. And so a business owner who has family in the business or wants to gift some of their wealth out of their estate for estate planning and estate tax purposes can take a look at gifting programs. And that's why I titled it Exiting Your Business, Protecting Your Wealth, because what you want to do as a business owner is begin to formulate your ideas around an exit that makes sense for you and reaches your goals. And simply the sale of a business is not what a lot of business owners want to simply achieve. Many of them want to preserve their legacy. Mm-hmm. They want to know their options for exit. And as I said, the first part of the book gets a business owner prepared, the first four chapters, to understand what their personal financial readiness is and their mental readiness for an exit, which is usually their time frame that they're looking at, so they can begin to realize what they need to get out of the business to reach their goals. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. That does. And, you know, it strikes me, I have been aware that most businesses that fail don't have business plans. And that's not to say that a business plan guarantees success, but that not having one can be dangerous. And it feels like with all of these options and the complexities associated with each, that the recipe for success starts with planning. And people really do need to have a plan.
That's very true. And whether it's in business or any other aspect of life, there's a very high correlation between those who commit their plans to writing and those who succeed in achieving the goals that they set out, whereas the same cannot be said for those who don't follow the same process. And as you're indicating, an exit is a planning engagement. So much like business owners prepare their plans, sometimes formally and informally, as you said,
yes,
it's just as important, if not more important, to prepare a plan for the exit on how the business owner, now that they've got this wealth, is going to protect it.
Okay. Yeah. And John, in your description of the planning process, you mentioned starting with an individual understanding their mental readiness to leave the business or be less involved, and their financial readiness.
Mm-hmm.
Are there some basic steps that a business owner can take to decide or determine that state of readiness and then correlate that to an exit strategy?
There are. So in my book, I lay out six steps that follow a proven process for virtually any business owner to begin to establish their exit from the business.
Okay.
The first step, of course, is what we had talked about, defining your goals. And what happens in the process of defining one's goals is it gives a business owner an opportunity to reflect upon what they really want out of life. Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And what happens with most business owners is they're really good at running their businesses, but they're not really good at exiting them. And the irony is that most business owners got into business to control their own destiny, But what happened is the business began to control them. And I say in Chapter 3, the mental readiness, in many respects, the business owners become addicted to their business. Mm-hmm. They become conditioned to running the business. Now, mental readiness is simply a time frame. And the average answer amongst exiting owners is about 5 years. They'll say, well, 5 years is a good number, to which I'll usually say, that sounds like a good number because there's not a lot of commitment behind it. And I usually kid with the owners because 5 years is usually the reflex number. There's not a lot of visibility 5 years out, but there's a lot 5 days out. That's what the business owners focus on. Now, a business owner wants to begin to define this time frame, and I call it mental readiness, because depending on how much time they have, they'll have more options.
Okay.
Now, that's one criteria that's laid out for almost any owner. And most owners can understand that pretty readily. They say, right, I'm not ready today. That's why I haven't done anything.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that's the wrong approach. Even though you're not ready to exit today, it's all the more reason to have a plan. So when you are ready, you'll have more options for your exit. So that's the first criteria, mental readiness. The
okay.
second criteria, actually ordered in the book first, is financial readiness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens with most business owners, as you know, is they invest most of their money and time into their businesses. They basically bet on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the successful ones grow their companies, and then a growing company requires capital. So generally speaking, sure. most privately held businesses go into their own savings and provide that capital to the business because they see that it's generating profits and they believe in themselves and in their success, which is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Except what's happening on the personal side is this owner's financial readiness personally is very low for an exit, meaning that statistically, 70% of business owners say that the business is their primary source of income. And the majority of business owners, therefore, have most of their wealth tied up in their business. So the question becomes, if you take a look at your goals and what you want to achieve for the exit, and then you look at how much simply you have saved just beyond mental readiness and what you would do outside the business,
sure.
how would you pay for it if you didn't have the business anymore? We call that financial readiness. And when you put the two together, you begin to build on our system for understanding what type of owner you are and what type of options you have, and you begin to understand what you need to extract out of the business. And in many, many cases, if you can determine where a business owner is today
okay.
with their financial readiness and their mental readiness, and where they want to be in a certain amount of time, there's a disconnect, and that's how much equity needs to come out of the business to meet their goals on an after-tax and after-fee basis. And that's how we put the pieces together to show business owners options for their exit and how they can begin to extract equity from the business in a tax-efficient manner
okay.
to meet their personal goals.
Okay. Now, with our financial readiness and our mental readiness, is one or the other a bigger obstacle, or is there kind of a just in general a large obstacle that's really challenging for business owners to overcome to be able to be successful in leaving their business and protecting their wealth at the same time?
You know, there really is. It's such a great question because business owners, as I say in Chapter 3, really know how to run their businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they spend most of their time doing. So when a business owner begins to think about exiting, oftentimes the biggest obstacle is themselves. It's the success
okay.
that they've had in their business. And it's also the embodiment of who they are. They
sure.
come to work each day. They're the boss. They're successful. They identify with the business. They have people who work for them. Sometimes there's good relationships, sometimes not so. But the business owner, that's their home, okay? And
okay.
it's what they've built. And the biggest obstacle that we see towards achieving an exit is this owner's inability to envision themselves beyond the business, to actually be able to see what their life would look like if they weren't working in the business all the time. Now, there are some business owners, I'm sorry, there are some business owners who would say, listen, you just give me the check and I'm sure I will make myself happy, believe me. And if they really check that, the questions in Chapter 3 that they want to answer and examine are, how will you spend your time? How will you challenge yourself the way that the business challenged you? You know, what will you be doing if you're not in the office all the time? So a lot of times what we have to do is help the business owner see beyond the business, and that usually is the biggest obstacle, is really helping the business owner see beyond the business as to what they would be doing without the business.
Okay, and I know that even for me personally, while I'm not yet a business owner, and I'm striving to be to become someday a partner with Deloitte, I identify so much with my work that it would be just terribly difficult to give it up, and to fill that void that would be left, because my work is really kind of how I identify myself.
Yeah, that's right. And business owners, that's exacerbated. Because over many, many, many years, they've continually bet on themselves, they've continually won in most cases, and that reinforces what you're conveying is that they have achieved something very unique, and it's hard for them to envision that in the same respect that it's hard for you to envision not being identifying with your work. So it's very much human nature. Every business owner goes through it. Nobody's unique in this regard, but nonetheless, raising awareness towards this issue is really what the book is about. And having business owners take a look and say, you know, could I really do nothing all day?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, it doesn't mean you shouldn't start your planning. Mm-hmm. It means that you should just plan with one of the options that lets you stay in the business but makes work optional.
Okay. Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense to me. That does make a lot of sense to me. John, in exiting your business, one of the things that I guess I just had not realized before, but it was what a significant impact taxes have on the net proceeds that an owner can expect to receive for his or her business. And just the phenomenal impact and the reduction of wealth that those taxes really do have. You had mentioned the difference between the impact of an asset sale and the associated 35% corporate tax rate versus a stock sale and what we have right now today in 2008 as a 15% capital gains tax rate. Of course, with the fluctuation in the markets that are going on today and the changing political environment that we're seeing, there's been a lot of talk about the capital gains tax rate being raised back to where it was pre-2000, which was up at 28%. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could tell us how that's going to impact the exit options and if it would actually make a stock sale less attractive than an asset sale to a business owner?
Well, those are great questions. There's really two there. Let me take the first one.
Okay.
Business owners need to know that the sale of their business, if they're considering a sale of the business, generally occurs in one of two ways, as you've indicated. Most buyers, as a general rule of a business, want to purchase the assets of a business. And this happens for a variety of reasons. But for the most part, in transactions that are less than $10 million, for the most part, those buyers want to purchase the assets. And that's because those buyers don't have to inherit all the liabilities that come with purchasing the stock. When you purchase stock in a privately held business, you get all of the known and unknown problems or liabilities that come with that business by what's called operation of law. Those transfer to you most buyers, because privately held businesses run things privately, and they can't have full knowledge of the business prior to purchasing, all things being equal, would prefer to purchase the assets instead of the stock. Business owners who are considering an exit via sale need to know this. Now, this is particularly true for a C corporation, because with a C corporation, when a buyer purchases the assets, that's a corporate transaction taxed at the corporate tax rate, as you indicated. But the cash stays with the corporation. There's a second tax for the distribution of that cash. And the two levels of tax really make these transactions very, very difficult to execute. So for business owners that have a C corporation who are thinking about selling, it's a big, big issue. If you do some planning, there are ways to mitigate this to get around it. There's a couple of things that can be done, but one of which is having the buyer purchase your stock. But a lot of times, buyers won't go ahead and do that. So as you indicate, taxes can really be a big, big factor here. Because what we tell business owners, when we try to assess what they need, and I say try because it's a bit of a moving target, but we do our best to assess what it is that they need for their personal goals, and then we try to assess how much of a tax bite the transaction is going to take, no matter which transaction, which option it is. We find, as you say, that taxes are a major, major part of this, and they can so an owner can either sell assets or stock. And it's important they understand that distinction, particularly if they're a C corporation. Now, if and when the tax rates change, because it seems as though there's only one route for them to go from 15%, and that's up. Now, where they stop is anybody's guess. It may be 28. They may eliminate the capital gains tax altogether and just make it an income equal to the income taxes. And I'm sorry?
Oh, I just I was agreeing.
Yeah, and
I hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
And if they do that, that's the whole Joe the Plumber discussion, right, from the John McCain campaign against Obama raising taxes. And there's a lot of validity to that because a lot of corporations are S corporations with flow-through provisions, and if income taxes are raised, regardless of what level Obama puts the figure at, whether it's $250,000 or $200,000, many of the larger corporations that earn that much and significantly more hire a lot of the people in this country. So it is going to slow down the business. Now, in regards to the transfer and the exit, as it applies to tax rates, yes, there's going to be an impact. And very briefly, it's going to impact the net result that owners get. So owners are going to be forced to either get more because they have to pay more tax, or reduce what they need at the end of the transaction. Or that's in a sale transaction.
Okay.
But what you'll find, and there's, you know, I could go into a lot of detail here, but essentially there are provisions, for example, within an employee stock ownership plan to get rid of that tax on the transaction through a 1042 rollover.
Okay.
If we see capital gains go from 15% up to 28% or higher, you're going to see this 1042 provision become more prevalent with exiting owners using an ESOP, because as they begin to calculate the taxes they're going to pay, they're going to be able to do much better with this IRS code provision. And there's a little bit that goes into that, a little more than just simply getting the 1042 treatment, but nonetheless, it's an effect of a change in the capital gains tax rate. Now, I don't think that a capital gains tax rate of 28% would make an asset sale look better than a stock sale. You're still doing a little bit better, all things being equal, depending upon how the assets are characterized. But for the most part, business owners need to know that taxes are an important part of this. And Nathan, I'm really glad that you asked that question, because most business owners think of their exit, particularly a sale, just like they think of their business, which is, let me get the highest price, because that's what I know how to do. I know how to negotiate for the highest price. I've been buying and selling things all my life. I know how to get the highest price. And what they fail to see is that, again, it's not what they get, it's what they keep that
yes.
is critically important. Because as we say, it all starts with what the owner wants, with their goals, and we want to get them the exit and the option that meets their goals. So we want to get them to keep as much as they can to meet their goals so that they can exit and protect that wealth, not against, you know, not just against the business going, slowing down, but also against taxes and estate taxes, as you indicate. So tax is a big, big contributor. You know, they say there's three parties in every one of these transactions. There's a
yes.
buyer, there's a seller, and then there's the government. Okay, so you have to plan for the government share.
Yeah, Uncle Sam likes his piece of that pie.
He sure does.
Yeah. One thing I just want to mention real quick, and it's one of the aspects I love so much about the book, is the fact that you have an example that ribbons its way through the book, and you run the numbers. And
right.
so it becomes very easy to see what the impact that taxes have on the various exit strategy options.
So, yeah, one of the things that I did in Exiting Your Business, Protecting Your Wealth, is I wanted to put these concepts into action, because business owners like to, they don't necessarily like to study these concepts. That's what they get advisors for. They want to see how it applies to their situation. So we had a business owner that went through all five of the different options and got a different net result from each of those different exit options. And I did that so a business owner can relate to what this option might mean to them and how they might be able to get a different net result and be able to understand what's behind that net result so they can make a good exit decision. And again, I'm really glad you mentioned that. That's exactly how the book lays it out, for business owners to understand what their net would be.
Yeah, I felt like after I read the example in the book, I could actually visualize, okay, this is how I need to engage my exit team and some of the questions I need to ask. So I walked away with an understanding of, you know, now this is what I need to expect to hear. These are the things I need to look for. This is how I need to engage so that I can have a more robust exit plan.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. So strategy-driven is a lot about alignment of resources because privately held businesses need to allocate their resources.
Yes.
It's one of the functions or one of the criteria of a small business is that there are limited resources. So when you have a plan, as you indicate, as to how you want to exit, you come back into your organization and you begin to make organizational-level decisions that are consistent and advance towards your exit plan. And it's critically important because an exit via sale versus an ESOP versus a management buyout will measure their business metrics and align their resources differently depending upon how the owner will. I couldn't agree with you more. I'm really pleased that you mentioned that because business owners, that's why they should begin deep. It's not just about getting the highest price vis-a-vis a sale. It's about running your business to accommodate your exit.
And that concludes part one of our interview with John Leonetti. We hope you enjoyed this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. I would like to personally thank John for being with us today and sharing his insights on exit strategy planning. As always, we would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. You can find more information about John Leonetti and Exiting Your Business, Protecting Your Wealth at www.exitingyourbusiness.com. So until next time, so long.